Well, hey, I will say real quick, if you are a director that is here, there's a couple folders left back there, but we've got folders for each group. So if you did not pick it up on your way in, you can go back there to Miss Emily and make sure you grab it. Inside, there's a few helpful things. And so an attendance roster from your past 6 weeks, just so you can see who's been around and who hasn't, who you need to follow up with. There's a quick agenda. And then the bulk of what we are going to be covering in this time together, you will be able to see in paper form there. And then for everybody else, we will have a QR code on the screen here in a second, and you'll be able to access it all digitally as well. And so if you need help making that happen, somebody around you can get it for you and get it pulled up on your phone. And that'll be great. So let's go ahead and get started. I want to make sure that you have time around your tables with your connect groups and leadership, that you can also have some time together, all right? So again, just thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for being here this evening and making it such a great time together. And so I'm really, really, really excited about what we're going to be talking about right now. But before we get into the meat of that, I want to bring up just one quick thing, all right? And that is curriculum. All right, the new curriculum for the fall launches on September 6th. So if you were on target with what you've been doing, that's when the new launch date is, September 6th. And then also with that, one thing that we have is that when you are done with all of your paper curriculum, all right, you don't have to just toss it or put it on a shelf or something. If you would like to recycle it, we certainly will. And when I say recycle it, I don't mean like it gets shredded and actually recycled. I mean, there is an organization that we have been in contact with recently, and we were able to give them a lot of old Bibles and a lot of old curriculum. And what they do is they fill up a storage unit, and when it fills up, they send it overseas to different areas that can utilize that. And so don't think that we're just going to trash it or anything like that. They are happy to come and pick it up from us. So we can get you that info on where to put it and all the things without having thought this through at all, because I was just reminded about this. I would say you can either bring it to the office or you can drop it off in the records room once you're done with it. And then we can make sure that it gets to where it needs to be so that someone else can use it and be encouraged by what we have already used. All right. And so it's just a good way to be good stewards of what we do have. Along those same lines of our curriculum is this. We spend a really, really good chunk of our resources on our curriculum, which is great, right? Our three Lifeway curriculums that most of our groups use are a fantastic resource, a fantastic tool. But again, we do spend a very large amount of our tithes and our resources on that. So I want to remind you that that is stewardship that we want to be mindful of. And so with that being said, I talked with a Lifeway rep a few weeks ago, and he was telling me about the curriculum that we already use. There is an option to go to a digital subscription model. No, I know some of you are like, I hate computers and phones. That's the devil. I'm not saying that we're doing it. All right. So, but we could honestly save up to 70% of our costs. If that's a large number, 70%, if we went fully digital. Now, again, Casey's not saying we're going fully digital. I did not say that, all right? So it's okay. We can still have paper options, right? But I do believe, and I think that you believe this as well, that we should be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with here at our church and what hopefully we are all giving and sacrificing and you know, tithing back to our church. And so any time that we can be a good steward of that, if we can do better, then I think we ought to take that opportunity. So it's something that I'm looking into and having conversations with Lifeway. And so know that that's kind of on the radar. And so here in a couple months, when your kind of reorder comes your way for the curriculum, I know that many of you like to check the box that says, keep the same as always, all right, or same as last time. if I could encourage you in a loving way to reconsider what you order, that would be great, all right? Because I just don't want us to be on autopilot and we're ordering 50 books when we only need 7, all right? Because those are real dollars that we give in the, collectively in this room, and the rest of our church does too. And again, we can be better stewards all the time. And if we can, we will. We will and we should, all right? So just keep that in mind. And if and when we have the digital option available, our team will communicate very well and let you know how that would happen, when that would happen, all of the things. But know that even if we were to go 100% to their digital subscription model, you can still print it, or we can print it for you. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's the exact same content with the commentaries, with the teacher guides, with the maps, with the personal studies, the discipleship studies. It has it all. All right. So you wouldn't be missing anything that you normally get or that you would normally use. And so know that that might be something that we look into for the 2027 budget year. Now, with that being said, the bulk of our time is not going to be spent talking about curriculum. All right. Praise God. Because I think that we have opportunity in front of us to, again, just be better even next Sunday, right? Just be better at how we serve God's kingdom, at how we serve God's people, at how we serve in our classrooms, in our connect groups, and how we serve people, right? How we minister to people, how we love people. And I think that we just have great opportunity in the season ahead. And the cool thing is that I've gotten here and things have been really good, like in the past. So it's built upon leadership from Jerry and from Wade and from Kelly and so many of you who have been around for so long. Our church and our connect groups are in a really, really great place, guys. And so my hope tonight is that we could look at what I've sent out to directors and teachers already and what we're going to talk about tonight, and we could use it as a tool, as a resource, as a way to continue growing and to continue not only growing numerically, because God has his hand on our church right now and we are growing numerically, but also how we can grow spiritually. Right, and how we as the leaders in our church can lead other people to become more Christ-like every single week, every single day. Right, that's really, really important. And so, fortunately, this is not new to a lot of you. Right, our leadership structure. This is actually Jerry was very kind to me, and he sent me what has been utilized in the past as things that we've done with more than just a director and a teacher for each group. But he sent me something that had all of these different jobs that have been available, all of these different roles as volunteer leaders that have been available in Connect groups in the past. And so much of what we are going to discuss tonight, many of you are already going to be familiar with what we're going to talk about and what we're going to discuss. And so there's really two reasons tonight that we're talking about this, that we talk about leadership structure within a Connect group, right? It's not to make it more business-like. It's not to give you an org chart of who does what in a group, but it's a way that we can organize our Connect groups in such a way that we can be exactly what Sam was talking about tonight, the vision and the execution. How can we literally serve our people, to serve our groups, to serve our church in better ways, right? So that's a part of it. And then another part of that is Ephesians chapter 4. This is going to be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says that we each have a role to play in the church to build the unity of the body. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And so to easily sum that up, right, leaders of the church are to equip believers to serve. And so we are all a part of a connect group, right, with other people. And we should have opportunities for everybody in our connect group to be a leader somehow, to take ownership within that group, to have a role to play, to have a function to fulfill, to be able to utilize your God-given spiritual gifts for the betterment of the church, to minister to people and to build up the church and be a unified body. And so in order to make that happen, there has to be clear opportunity for that to happen. And so we want to present all these roles in this leadership structure so that people know that they have an opportunity. Connect Group isn't just a place to show up every single week, and it's not a social club, right? It's a place where we can find community. I always like to say Connect Groups are a place where friends become like family, right? And I've been able to see that even in my short time here so far of how you guys serve one another. How a group will have a baby and immediately there's a meal train that is filled up for weeks at a time so that we can make sure that the newborn mom and dad brains aren't just exploding, because I don't know if you remember what that's like, but it's not fun, right? Everybody needs to sleep, and turns out babies do not care, right? And so if we can provide a simple meal, like, why would we not, right? Surgeries, deaths in the family, Connect Groups come alongside, and I love to see it. We are being the body of Christ. And so there has to be clear opportunity to know what you can do within a group and to carry out kind of the jobs and the instruction and all of the things within a group. Like I said, Jerry was kind enough to share a lot with me of what we've done in the past. So for a lot of you, you're going to be like, Casey, all you did was copy and paste what Jerry already had. True, all right? He's kind of a guru. And but between me and the adult ministry team, we talked about it some over the summer. And we really believe that this is something that's going to make our ministry better. And so currently, most of our groups have a clearly defined director and a teacher. And then there's other people within most of our groups who fulfill other roles, right? So you might have somebody who takes attendance. You might have somebody who brings the donuts. You might have somebody who organizes the social calendar and whatnot. You might have somebody who reaches out to every new member or new guest, right? But if we can put that in a defined way, in a defined structure, I think that we will be so much more effective and so much more just effective, efficient and effective to be able to serve our people. And then as God allows our church to continue to grow and we see new faces on our campus every single week, to be able to assimilate these people into our families, into our communities, into our groups, and then we can multiply and launch new groups, right? So I know that a lot of you are like, why would we ever multiply? I've been with these people for 10 years. I've been with these people, like, they're my best friends. Turns out, you can still be best friends with somebody who's not in the same Connect group as you. It's a crazy thought, right? But I understand wanting to be in the same group as your best friends and the people you're closest to. But God is also allowing us to reach new people, and we need space for them. And there's a few things that are going to limit our ability to fill up classrooms, right? One is space. I don't know if you've noticed around here, but we've only got a few more classrooms that are available at certain hours, right? If you want to launch an 8:15 Connect group, know that we've got plenty of space. So there's my pitch to you, all right? Plenty of space, 8:15. Just get that in your head. Then on top of that, you know, we're going to run out of space in our classrooms. And then two, when we can no longer effectively care for and minister to and intimately know all of the people in our group, there's something wrong. Right? It's the same reason that we as a church staff are organized the way that we are, because if it was just Pastor Connor Bales leading the entire church and it's only him, there's no way that he can know everybody and effectively minister to every single person. And so that's why people like me exist. That's why people like Kelly and Wade are on staff and Nate Crawford and Dylan Bone. That's why we're all here, so that we can break it down even further. And that is exactly what you do as well. And so if you get to a point where your group is so big that you can no longer effectively know and care for everybody on your roster, it might be time to think about multiplication. And so when we have leadership structure in place, we already have a group of people to turn to be like, hey, you're already doing this over here, like in an official capacity. Why don't you launch a new group like this in that official capacity so that we can reach new people and open up more seats and more classrooms for more people to join in on what we are doing here at Quail? And so the leadership roles and structure is going to be on the screen above here. Right, so we've got a primary leadership tier, and that's what I've already mentioned in our directors and teachers, and then we've got like a tier for support ministry, like a coordination tier. So we've got our secretary, our prayer coordinator, our outreach coordinator, our inreach coordinator, care group coordinator, social coordinator, and missions coordinator. So really quickly, I'm going to give you a 30,000 foot view of each of these roles that are on the screen. And then I'm going to dive in more detail with just one of those roles so that you can kind of understand and see it. And then I'm going to give you the fancy QR code here in a second so that you can see all of them for yourself. All right, and we will do our very best to email out all of kind of a recap of tonight too. So don't feel like you have to take all the notes and all the pictures. If you miss something, we're going to do our very best to capture it and send that to you this week. All right, so quick 30,000 foot view of each role. A director. A director serves as the chief administrator and team builder who organizes and empowers the coordinator team. So identifying, recruiting, and organizing leaders to lead. Basically a class manager, right? A faithful messenger from the church to the group to communicate any important announcements and or events via email, meetings, or connect group announcements. So a director serves as that class manager and communicates with the group effectively what the church has going on, right? The second one is our teacher. The teacher serves as the primary spiritual and biblical communicator, focusing solely on developing members and guests through engaging Bible study, right? Pretty self-explanatory there. Number three, our secretary. Manages group administration, maintains accurate rosters, and tracks weekly attendance so that no one slips through the cracks. This is a crucial role so that other people in other roles can carry out their own duties and processes. Number four, the prayer coordinator cultivates a culture of consistent prayer by managing weekly requests, leading the group in focused prayer, and keeping the group updated on those prayer requests. There are so many of your groups who have a phenomenal, top-notch prayer coordinator because I get those emails, and it's incredible to see how y'all serve one another in that regard. Number five, outreach coordinator champions a culture of invitation, welcomes newcomers, and manages the intentional follow-up process for all guests to the group as well as those that staff suggests. Right, so even if they just come and let's just make up a scenario, they either check in their kid or they come to the welcome desk and they say, hey, this is my first Sunday. We want to effectively capture that information, send it to your outreach coordinator. And then from there, they reach out to them and say, hey, we'd love to see you Sunday morning at 9:30 in such and such classroom, or 8:15 if you want to launch another group at 8:15, you know. Kidding, but not kidding at all, or 11 o'clock, and you know, get them plugged in to your group. An inreach coordinator, number six, oversees the internal care network of the group to ensure that every member is valued, supported, and personally looked after. And so that's just what I talked about a second ago, so that we can intimately know and care for every single person that's a part of our group that is on our roster. An inreach coordinator will have processes to be able to do that and do that well. Seven is a care group coordinator. So this is formally dividing the large roster into smaller care groups so that everyone has a direct relational connection that could lead to more intentional discipleship and accountability. So a care group can kind of be broken down into four or five people or four or six couples, like whatever works for your group. And this is, if I'm a care group leader, I can make sure to call Connor Bales and Mary Bales and check in on them throughout the week and keep tabs on them. Or I can call Kelly and Vic King and make sure that after their surgery, everything is good. Or I can call Wade and Rachel and check in on, you know, ABC and stuff like that. So it's just the way that those, that smaller group within the larger group is known, seen, cared for, and ministered to. And then it can also be a time where these couples or these individuals can meet together and have Bible study, can do whatever they want, topical, or hey, we're going to spend the summer in the Psalms or whatever that might be, separate from your connect group, so that you can have more intentional discipleship in going through God's word together, confessing sin, and keeping one another accountable to be as Christ-like as possible. So that's care group coordinator. Two more. Social coordinator deepens friendships of group members and assimilates guests by planning low-pressure yet highly engaging community gatherings outside of the regular meeting time. So that's filling your calendar outside of Sunday morning, outside of Wednesday night. Let's go to lunch on Saturday. Let's bring all the kids, or let's have a Friday night thing here at the church, or so on and so forth. And let's get together outside of those times. And also, social gatherings are a fantastic way to invite new guests if they are at all intimidated at walking in a small group room on a Sunday morning, right? So that you can have, you know, if you're, I don't know, eating barbecue, like I would love to come to your barbecue, by the way. So you just let me know. Or if you're going to meet, I see Mark Atkinson is pumped about that. Looks like I'm coming to your group, buddy. So I'm cooking. What just happened? All right. Dustin Decker, he's got a smoker. I know he'll be glad to do it. So number nine, the last one is our missions coordinator. So mobilizes the group to look beyond themselves by coordinating regular opportunities to serve our church's local and global mission partners. So partnering with somebody, you know, that's 30 minutes away downtown or whatever it is, or going on a mission trip together, whether that's national or overseas, just getting your group together to serve in some way. So there's somebody that can mobilize the group to do that. So now that you have an overview of all of those groups, here's a QR code, all right? And so this is going to be for directors who have the large packet within your group. It's going to be the very thick one, all right? Because it has a one-page kind of job description for all of those roles that kind of describes what they do, okay? And so that's going to be on this QR code along with a few things up front of the why, right? So to get more people engaged in serving, Ephesians chapter 4, and then the second part of that is the Matthew 28 Great Commission, that we all have a responsibility to multiply ourselves, right? So at some point, 76 years ago, Quail Springs Baptist Church, which was not Quail Springs at the time, was a multiplication of something, somewhere, somehow, right? A group of people decided to plant a church, and here we are all these years later. We are the product of multiplication in some form or factor. Your group is likely the launch of somebody's ministry and efforts beforehand to be able to multiply themselves, right? And so multiplication is important. So when you look at all these job descriptions, there are kind of three things on that, right? There's the core purpose, there's the key responsibilities, and there's the multiplication impact. And so if you decide to serve as whatever role, there's a piece of your role that you have a responsibility to think towards multiplying yourself. To think towards what would it look like to launch a new group, and how am I bringing somebody alongside me so that they know what to do as well. So let me dive a little bit into specifically the secretary role tonight. And so some of you are like, I don't want to hear about the secretary role. But let me tell you, secretary is one of the more important roles, and I'll tell you why. So that's page 7 in the document. That's role number 3, if you want to read along and follow along here. So the secretary is a crucial role that some of you may think, well, I don't understand. That's just checking boxes on the roster every Sunday and giving it to the records room so that we're counted and present, right? But it's so much more than that, because the job of the secretary, those processes that happen there of checking those boxes and taking attendance, is crucial for that inreach coordinator to know who has been here and who hasn't been here so that you can reach out to them if they've missed a week or two. You can check in and say, oh my gosh, are you like, I've noticed that you haven't been here in 3 weeks. Is there anything going on? It's like, well, yeah, my goldfish died and I've just been really depressed. I don't know. Right? Or it could be, well, my kids have just been sick for a few weeks, or my mom is really sick and in the hospital and we've had to care for her. And so we've had to miss a few Sundays, right? So when you check that box, secretaries, it puts in motion all of these processes to be able to care for our members. When you check that box or you fill out that visitor form for somebody who showed up to your group for the very first time, that puts in motion a process for our outreach coordinators to be able to follow up and say, oh my gosh, Casey Burt, it was your first time. How did you and Jillian enjoy it? Like, is there anything that we can do for you? Just to let you know, on Friday night, we're doing this out at the lake or whatever, right? Like, it kickstarts all of these things so that we can better serve our people. And so the key responsibilities are the real-time attendance tracking. So again, checking off the boxes, yes, but it helps us serve our people better. The guest onboarding data. So when a new person walks in, or if they stop by the welcome desk and somebody walked them into your room, you can be the first to greet them. Right? And you can say, oh, Casey, it's so nice to meet you. Can you just fill this out for us real quick? We'd love to check in with you this week. You know, something as simple as that. It's not like, I need your social. We're going to apply for a credit card. Like, they're not signing up to tithe or anything like that. We literally just want their information so that we can follow up with them really well. Right? Hopefully, a lot of you have been followed up with really well by your Connect group. All right? Roster upkeep. So you process member information and updates. So if you know that somebody has moved away, right? And it's like, you can contact the adult staff and say, hey, I know that Casey and Jillian have moved away. And so you can take them off of this roster. Or, hey, I know that they visited our group a couple times, but they decided to go to this other group because they said you looked funny or whatever it might have been, right? The missed report, right? So again, if we know that somebody has missed a few weeks in a row, that kickstarts a process for us to be able to follow up with them and to make sure everything is good. And then you can see this last point is for, it's on every job description in this packet as well. And that's just a commitment to be developed, a commitment to learn, a commitment to show up to things like this so that we can always be getting better, right? And then the last bullet point at the bottom of every single one is that multiplication impact. And so specifically for a secretary, that's the roster transition excellence. And so when you have kept your roster accurate and detailed and you are, you know, taking care of that attendance every single week, it helps know when it's time to multiply, like who might be a good option to consider for leadership in a new class. It might be helpful to know, okay, well, we can't send everybody who's here 85% of the time to a second group and multiply that, because then the people who are only here 20% of the time will be left. Like, that doesn't work, right? You're just trying to kick out the people you don't like, right? But we love everyone, so that's not the case, I know, right? But the secretary plays a vital part in ensuring that the inreach coordinator can know which class members may be missing, the outreach coordinator can follow up with visitors, that the director can accurately know who is consistent and dependable so that when they need to identify and recruit another leader onto the leadership team, the director can easily do that. And so for those of you who are the secretary or attendance taker, whatever you want to call it, clerk, I don't know. We're going to call it secretary from now on. So, but thank you for what you do. Like, it is vital. It is crucial. It is important because so many processes are kickstarted out of that. And there are eternal just implications on how we care for people when we know that they are there. And so as I'm wrapping up, guys, directors, I'll say this, we sent out another paper. It's actually, we've got a screenshot for you on the screen. It looks like this, right? but there's a way that you can kind of identify who eventually will be in all of these roles. And if you need multiple people in multiple roles, you can certainly do that, right? And so I believe it's page 4 of that big document. There is a way that you can kind of identify by the size of your group, what size group should have how many roles and which roles they are. Now, that's just a suggestion, right? It's not, you don't have to live or die by those suggestions. Whatever works best for your group to serve well and effectively. But, you know, a large group may need 3 secretaries, and that's fine. One of our smaller groups, the director may also be the secretary, right? So you can kind of contextualize that to your group and look at that page 4 to know what might be the best thing for your group. And so we'll put this QR code back up here. And if you need to scan that again and kind of look over it, you certainly can do that. Because a lot of you already have seen it and you're like, oh, I know that I am the InReach coordinator, or I am a care group leader, or I am going to do this based on what you already do. Or you may just want to browse through all 9 of those and say, oh, I think God has wired me this way and I could or should do this, right? And so the goal in all of this, again, just as a reminder, 2 things: to get more people serving, right? And to ready ourselves, to prepare ourselves for what I believe God is going to do in the seasons of ministry ahead. And that's to multiply and launch new groups, right? You know, God willing, we're looking to launch a brand new group here in a few short weeks in September, because we are growing with young families that have babies. Praise God for that, right? Because that's not just now growth, but that's future growth as well, right? Young families are the future of our church. They're the now of our church, and we are reaching these people. Praise God for that. And so we are so excited to be launching that new group. And so they are going to look at all of these roles here in the next few months, you know, as they get going and they have consistent people showing up and say, hey, Casey, you know, you're not sleeping well with your baby. Why don't you, you know, do X, Y, Z? It's like, I got to do another thing. It's okay. We're not going to force anybody to be into a role that they don't want to do, right? We can never force somebody to serve. But if you're in this room, you're already serving, or at least you're interested in serving. And so I would encourage you to look at all of these roles and you know, help shape what you want to do and how you think God has wired you and how you know he's gifted you, so that you can best serve your group, so that you can best serve your church. And so here's what we're going to do. It's 5:33. I'm going to pray for us right now. And then hopefully you are kind of sort of already sitting with other leaders from your group, all right? And if not, if you need to shuffle around, that's fine. But here's what we would love for you to do. I'm going to pray, and then you have until 5:45, and then Wade is going to come up and kind of lead us in prayer and dismiss us to dinner, all right? But you've got, I'm sorry, I got long-winded, but so I wanted to give you a lot more time. But you've got, you know, a little bit of time so that you can talk as a group about these things, so that you can just pray as a group for what's to come, the leadership. Like, you can use this time as a group to do whatever you want to do whatever you need to do. And if you need to have another leadership meeting soon in a home or here or whatever, I'm glad to come if I'm available. I'm glad to help. I'm glad to answer questions. You can raise your hand in these next few moments and I'll stop by. And I really do want to be a resource, and I'll explain anything that doesn't make sense, and then I'll retype it and revise it and all the things. But I'm happy to help as much as I can, because again, I believe it's something that's just going to make us that much better. And so our goal tonight is that we can leave here, and over these next few months, right, directors, we're asking for that sheet to be filled out by January, by the way, so don't feel like you have to do it tonight. You have plenty of time to pray over it. You have plenty of time to talk to people, to ask me questions or Kelly or Wade, and we're happy to help. And then identify, recruit those people to fulfill these roles, okay? And so you've got plenty of time. and we want to be a resource. And so let me do this. I'm going to pray, and then you're going to have time with your group leadership to use it however you'd like for the next 10 minutes, all right? Dear God, thank you again just so much for everybody that's in this room, for all of these leaders and how they serve you, how they serve your church and your people. And God, I pray for this season of ministry ahead of us right now that we could begin identifying people who may not even be here yet, who may not be here tonight or may not be in our church, but that we could be able to identify future leaders of our church so that we can serve you and your people that much better. And so, God, would you just raise up even more leaders within our church? Would you bring us more leaders who are moving to the area or maybe who aren't even saved yet, God? And would you use us to be your hands and feet so that we can just give you the glory that you deserve, so that we can make your name known in all of Oklahoma City and beyond? And so, God, I pray for this time right now that as we break into our groups and we have discussions, that they would be edifying, that they would be encouraging, and that it would just be a sweet time together as we form our leadership structures and put it down on paper so that we can be that much better at serving your people. So, God, again, thank you for tonight. Thank you for all the people here, and bless this time we have together. Amen.